should we go to see that picture show?
Which one should we pick?
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Dean's in the studio. Is it good or does it blow?
Dean is reviewing two movies, Draft Day and Rio 2.
You want some Stephen Colbert news first?
Stephen Colbert, it was announced today that he is taking over the Letterman spot.
Yep, official, 5-year deal with CBS. They have not announced a date for David Letterman to leave yet. It'll be sometime in 2015. That we knew a week ago when he made the announcement. But we do know that Stephen Colbert will remain on Comedy Central for the next 8 months. So, and they're speculating that he'll take at least 3 or 4 months off between the two jobs. So it's probably at least a year until Colbert takes over late nights on CBS. We also know Stephen Colbert has said today that he will not be doing his buffoonish, super conservative character that he's been doing on the Colbert Report on this new late night show. It'll be Stephen Colbert, just regular Stephen Colbert, who is a fantastic actor. It may be one of the smartest people on television, maybe one of the best interviewers on television. I think it's a fantastic move. I'm a fan of his. I finally just got used to this character that he's doing on the Colbert Report, and I think it's funny, but I don't think it's something he could sustain in the
Colbert
mainstream.
Colbert show is structured around that persona that he's created. It's all soup and sandwich. It wouldn't transfer out into what is now the late night show.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, it depends on what kind of show it's going to be. I think it'll be a little smarter show than the two Jimmys are providing. Nothing against Kimmel or Fallon right now. They're doing fine shows, but I think it's going to be a completely different kind of show. It's going to be a little, I think you're going to see a different kind of, slightly different kind of guest, a slightly different kind of approach. Colbert is maybe one of the most intelligent people who's on television right now and structures and does interviews in a way really that maybe only Charlie Rose does. I mean, he's I think, one of the more thoughtful and well-prepared interviewers more than most who are on television. So I think it's going to be a kind of an interesting mix of what we might wind up with. It's going to be interesting to watch. I'm a fan, so I think it's going to be great. It's also great for Chicago. He's a Chicago Second City alum. He's a Northwestern alum. So, you know, he's going to bring, I think, some of the Midwest sensibilities that he learned when he was doing improv here to the show as well.
You weren't in Camp DeGeneres?
I wouldn't have mind Camp DeGeneres, but I don't think that there's any way you're going to move her off of that giant pile of money that she's making in syndication right now. There's a huge sum of money there. There's absolutely no reason for Ellen to have left. I would have liked to have seen Neil Patrick Harris get a shot at it, because I think that he's also very entertaining. I think Tina Fey might have been an interesting choice. She's making too much money in the movies. Chelsea Handler's name was brought up over and over again. Not a fan. I couldn't see that. I don't think she brings anything.
No way.
To the
never.
Table.
No.
No. No way that you.
Wow. Where's that voice?
You like her or you disagree?
I do
with
not.
Me,
yeah. Yeah. I just don't get her.
I don't either.
My daughter loves this stuff and.
For cable, you know, maybe for a smaller, more targeted audience, narrow audience, maybe for Chelsea Handler, not on the big arena like this is going to be.
Well, obviously, they already had Colbert in mind to have this done so quickly.
Yeah. Don't you think that's kind of the other little bit of the surprise of this whole thing? They didn't need to announce this now. They could have easily waited until after Christmas and still had plenty of time. They wanted to get this out, get people used to it, people used to the idea. Maybe Colbert will come and visit with Letterman once in a while. Maybe Letterman, you know, they'll go back and forth and kind of get the audience used to it maybe a little bit.
They did that with that Conan Leno deal. I know it was a disaster. But then they did it the second time, too, when they were saying, hey, Jay's done in about a year, so get ready. We're going to get all this done. And looks like, and it was just a few months or weeks that they announced Jimmy Fallon.
Can't you just see Colbert doing like crazy, just, you know, showing up impromptu for some ridiculous something on Dave's show? Just a quick run on, like Tony Randall used to do, like just crazy things on and off real quick just to kind of get the audience used to a non-super conservative persona, the character that he plays on the Colbert Report, to get the audience used to a different kind of Stephen Colbert. I can see that happening. Maybe that's why they're announcing this so early. I also think that probably one of the reasons to announce this so early is to get advertisers used to the idea of something that probably is going to be a little bit different in late night, and to get the CBS affiliate stations, most of whom are pretty conservative, slightly older audiences, also kind of used to the idea that something pretty significantly different is going to be happening late night. So now the question is, what's going to happen after Jon Stewart? They fill it with one of their correspondents from The Daily Show. Does John Oliver come back from HBO to do a regular show? Does Colbert, The Daily Show expand to an hour? So now that's the new question. And also, how does Craig Ferguson feel about all this? Getting completely overlooked, where normally the guy at 11:30 Chicago time would get bumped up. He hasn't even been mentioned in any of this replace Dave business.
Maybe it's better that he just stays where he's at. He seems to be doing well there. What's to complain about that? That's what Conan made the mistake on, thinking I should be on The Tonight Show when everything was working fine.
Should have just stayed, right?
And now he's got a smaller audience than he had even on that late show after The Tonight Show on TBS.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, you've used up your first segment.
It's okay. We have two movies, and I can breeze right through both of them that are pretty fairly non-remarkable this week. So.
Okay. Here's Leslie and now Dean with Draft Day and Rio 2.
Yeah, Draft Day is the new Kevin Costner movie. Kevin Costner returning to an area familiar with him, sports movies. This time, not baseball, which he's almost exclusively done. This time he plays the general manager of the Cleveland Browns on his first draft day, his first day to go into the college picks, make his choice, determine the future of the team that his father coached. His father, legendary coach for the Cleveland Browns, all fictitious. But you know, now it's time for the son to step up, the son to take over after his father has passed away, and to make these choices. On this day that he's dealing with his very first draft day, he's also dealing with his relationship with his girlfriend, played by Jennifer Garner in the movie, who has just told him that she's pregnant. She apparently felt it was so important that she had to tell him on this very particular day, the same day that his mother has tremendous issues with how to deal with her husband, his father's ashes, his remains after cremation. All of these things have to be done on draft day, though probably the most important day in this guy's career. So he's dealing with this. This is the side of this movie that says, let's put some stuff in here so women will come and see this movie. Then there are the sports issues in this movie. And while not my strongest area to talk about areas of authenticity, so in case that guy that was calling you in the last hour and yelling at you about sports, you can call my show on Sunday morning and yell at me, because I also don't know anything about sports.
What do you need to know?
But
they
about them.
They win, they lose.
Talk about them right now, even though I'm telling you right now I'm not an expert. This movie does actually give you a pretty interesting, what seems to be authentic, behind-the-scenes look at what goes on draft day, these behind-the-scenes deals, the wheeling and dealing between the owners and the general managers and coaches, and how your own coaches and your own behind-the-scenes staff and office staff are all trying to influence your decisions that are going on. That part of the movie I thought was really interesting. Dennis Leary plays his kind of jerk coach who wants to defy him in every way possible. Frank Langella is the owner of the team, who is only interested in the glory and the headlines and the showbiz and the business dealings of it all. And this guy is trying to reconcile all of these outside influences that he has, his other staff of coaches, trying to reconcile all of these things to determine what is best for the future of this team. And it's focused on four players. There's sort of this stud star player who's got all the stats and everybody thinks should be the number one draft pick. There is a local hometown hero for, you know, emotional reasons is also in consideration. There's the guy who played Clark Kent, Superman, on Smallville, Tom Welling, who was a quarterback on the rebound, who's, you know, also with great potential. And also this actor by the name of Chadwick Boseman, and he played Hank Aaron in the movie that was out not too long ago, this past summer, and he does a great job. There's pretty good acting in this movie. The cast is just fine. It's this movie trying to balance being a really good sports movie, but throwing in, like, clearly throwing in stuff that doesn't really belong in the movie. The personal things in the movie really slows the whole thing down. When it gets down to the wheeling and dealing, and is he going to get the guy that he wants, and he's not really telling what he is going to do. You don't really find out until the end of the movie. It's a pretty exciting movie. So I think it's an above-average movie. I wound up giving it a C+. The other movie for this weekend is strictly for the kids. It's called Rio 2. It's a sequel to Rio that came out a couple of years ago. Family of birds. This time, this many of the same characters again, bird characters and animal characters, are venturing into the rainforest in search of potential relatives. So they meet many of the characters that you met in the first movie. They encounter new characters and new villains at the same time. It's a beautiful, very colorful movie with fantastic songs and great performances in that sense. Really nice, upbeat, mostly samba, bossa nova-ish kind of music that, you know, kind of makes you feel good. As I say, the story is clear-cut and pretty harmless. I think for younger kids, this movie is really great. For slightly older kids, I think they might be a little bored with the movie. And for adults, you're going to take a two-hour nap when you go see this movie. It's not the Lego movie. It's not one of these movies that's got, like, layers of things going on so the grown-ups can also enjoy it. Doesn't mean whatsoever that it's a bad movie. But it's just a little bit one-dimensional. So this one, I enjoyed it. I wound up giving it a B, a Dean's List B.
If I didn't see Rio 1, will I understand this one?
I think that you probably will be able to make the quantum leap and catch up on the story.
Thank you, Dean.
Are you into birds? If you're into birds, you'll definitely get it.
Thank you. This is the Dean Altman.